I want us to go ahead and say this, our key passage together. I need all of you to say it loud. Colossians 2, beginning at verse 6, it says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Lord, we do. We are so thankful this morning that you're Lord, and that we are continuing to follow you, and we're getting our roots deep down into the truth of your word. So help us grow and produce the fruit out of our lives that you desire. In Jesus' name, help us learn today from your word and from the Spirit as you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's quickly go over what our GROW, the acronym stands for. But G is for what? R is for? O is for? And W is for? Worshiping God. Last week I began this, worship is how we interact with God in our daily lives. You need to kind of lock this in. Worship is how we interact with God in our daily lives. Last week I started this message on worship. And we looked at Psalm 95, and we answered two questions last week. This morning I'm going to pick up the last. But the first question last week was, what is worship? And I started with this brief definition. Worship is to recognize and ascribe ultimate value to someone or something. And then, of course, we began to talk about his worship. We looked at how King David took inventory of God, and he began to engage in worship when he understood who God was. And King David not only did it, but he did it with several things. He did it with his emotions. In Psalm 95:1, come, let us sing to the Lord, right? Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Can we be a little crazy for a moment? How many of you think you're crazy already? Then this will make no difference for you. Those who think you're a little reserved and not crazy, any of you? Okay, you're not crazy. Well, let's be crazy for a moment. If he is the God who has redeemed you from all sin and is preparing a place for you in heaven, do you think he is worthy of praise? Amen. Then give him some praise. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. So is that all he's worthy of? How crazy are we going to be in our worship? He is preparing a place for you right now. And I wonder if we keep that as a thought. Church, your emotions are to get involved. But not only your emotions, David also teaches us as part of our will. We have a will, and you choose to bow down. You choose to make him your Lord. You choose to continue to walk in him. You choose to let your roots go down into him. You choose that. It is your will. And not only that, you are a person of reason. You're a thinker. Church, we ought to be thinkers. We reason and understand and think about why God is worthy of worship and who we worship and why we worship and how we worship. Church, I wonder if we really understand who he is and that, listen, he has come to abide and dwell in you. Church, that ought to stir your mind, your will, and your emotions because it causes us to give him the worth he's worthy of. A second question we talked about is why should we worship? And really the foundation is this. The bottom line is that we're already worshiping something. Church, there is only one king, one master of your heart and your soul. But the problem is we're distracted by all the things that are out there. And people are confused to who to put first in their life. Should it be work? Should it be family? Should it be my kids? Or should it be something that will make me happy? But we need to understand God is and has to be above all other gods. He is worthy because he is above those, but where do we place him? You need to be careful not to give your worship to things in this world, because they will begin to control your life and they will mislead you. They'll eventually crush your heart, your soul, your mind, and your spirit. But God is the one thing, the one person that will not distort or crush your life. And that's why I'm telling you, God Almighty is the only one worthy of your worship. So this morning, it brings me to a third question that I want to speak to you about, and it's this question. How can we worship? How do we worship skillfully? Well, one way is in community, or we call it corporate worship here, but I want to call it the praise of community. The praise of community. Hear what David says in Psalm 95, verse 1 again. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2, let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. And down in verse 6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Yes, we are to worship individually, and I love our individual worship. And we need to worship him individually, but God has called us to worship as a group. We are the people of God. And church, we'll never really get to know completely who God is until you come into a worshiping community. Because it's there when you worship in community that you will get a more accurate picture of who God is. How many of you think that when we get to heaven, that God is going to put you in your own little corner to worship him? Oh, I got a mansion, I'll just stay in here. Do you really think that's going to happen? Absolutely not. We are going to worship him together. Listen to Revelation 7. I love the book of Revelation. It gives us glimpses and images of what is to come. But here in chapter 7, verse 9, John writes this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Church, that's just a glimpse. Church, we practice our worship individually, but we come together corporately to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to do so in community. And when we do that, we get this better image and idea, listen, of the grace and the glory and the magnificence of our God. Do you understand that he has redeemed people from every tribe, nation, people, language group, every facet of life, because he's the Savior of the world and he's worthy of worship, and we're to do it together? Going in alone in worship, you won't see all the facets of who God is. If you were to look around this room, when you begin to worship, and if you knew of the stories, the facets of glory coming from the lives of people and the stories of his redemption and his rescue and his reviving and his restoring of hearts and souls in this place, you would begin to understand his worthship. I mean, has he saved anybody in this room? Have any of you been delivered from alcohol? Have any of you been delivered from sin? You've been set free. And when we recognize that and we look around, it's like, God, I see them and what you've done in their life. Oh, praise the Lord. It amazes me, the testimonies that people give. We'll have people come up here and give a testimony. And we get excited about it because of what God is doing in their life. But it's all in this room. This whole community has been rescued by God. And I believe the more diverse the worshiping community, the better our understanding is. Old and young, men and women all coming together, every race of people, because that more diverse, the more accurate the picture. It reminds me when I go on missions trips. In fact, I had two earlier this year in Guatemala and in Nicaragua. And when I went to Guatemala, though, when we were worshiping with the people, one thing, they have church every day. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. No, they have church every day. I was watching, and I enter into their worship, and I'm there, of course, two of the days, and they're like, you preach. And I asked before I went on this trip, am I going to have to preach? And they're like, not at all. Just serve. Well, I served because they said, you're preaching. But you just are there. You're ready. But I'm watching these people worship. And I'm like, wait a minute. They don't have electricity. They don't have anything. And yet, wow, God, the facets of your grace is not about economics. And I'll be honest with you. There's a gospel that's being preached that's not a true gospel out there about prosperity. It doesn't mean you can't prosper as a believer. But I'll go and tell you, not every believer is rich. That's a false gospel. You need to know that. Because all you got to do is go to Guatemala and you'll find out real quick. Not every believer is rich. But they might be poor economically, but let me tell you, when they worshiped, they were rich. Because they, as I see that and I see all these facets of what's going on, it amazes me how God works in the lives of people and where they are, and yet they still give him the worship he deserves, though they may not have anything to actually give. It's amazing. If we could capture the praise of community and what it could be like, I believe God could not only heal us spiritually, our spiritual condition, or maybe physical healing, or psychologically thinking, but I believe he can heal all the divisions that have happened in the human race. If the people of God would really begin to worship God, we would no longer have a racism problem in the world, because we would understand that God so loved the world. Everybody, every nation, every person. I want to put a guard here, though, this morning. And I'm not doing this to be mean. I'm teaching. I'm instructing. But quit looking for the church of your choice. We have been inundated in America with an individual consumer mindset or a mentality, I go to church to get what I want from it. And some go because of the style of worship. Others go for some polished preacher. And others go for some shortened message. That wouldn't be you. But the list goes on and on to why all kinds of people go to church. But could I remind you, the church, the real church, is nothing more than the redeemed people of God gathering together to give him the worship he deserves and the praise for what he's done in our lives. And each of you need to lock into a community of believers so you can get to know who he is, so you can grow to be more and more like Jesus and do what he's called you to do. And remember, what is our simple mission? It's this: be bringing people to what? To Jesus Christ and equipping them to be like him. Be bringing and equipping. It's what we do. And I'm glad that the church is a place where we have the praise of community. When people do come to Jesus Christ, we celebrate it. When we see them grow, we celebrate it in community. So learn to worship with the family of God. Not only do we have the praise of community, but another way we worship is the power of Scripture. King David wants us to know, if you're really going to worship God, then you have got to have truth. We worship in spirit and in truth. We have got to have the Word of God. When we study the Word of God, it causes us to respond because we get to know who He is in a deeper way. It's like times in our worship and our singing times when we corporately do that. There are certain phrases in songs that we sing, and all of a sudden, because a truth comes alive corporately, it causes us to erupt in worship. Let me give you an example. We sing this song, "There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again." And just like I heard, woo! Something all of a sudden, because of a truth that Jesus was buried and made alive and came out of that tomb bursting forth, a truth causes us to want to what? Worship and praise and give adoration. It just builds you up because it's truth. But listen as it goes on. "And as He stands in victory," listen, "sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His and He is mine." Oh, I like this. "Bought with the precious blood of Christ. I am redeemed, so let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I'm redeemed. You can praise Him. You can praise Him. Praise to You, Lord. Praise. Praise. Why? Because of truth. It's in you. You sense it. You're like, wow, that's the truth. And it set me free, and it causes you to be freer in your worship. David in Psalm 95, verse 3 says, "The Lord is a great God." Now, how does the psalmist know He's a great God? The psalmist doesn't say, "Now, I'd like to think that God is a great God." Or, I'd like to think of Him as the rock of my salvation. That's not what the psalmist says. The psalmist says what he says because he knows what has been written in Scripture that pertains to God Almighty. He knows the encounter of Moses and Joshua and the judges and what they've had with God. And he knows that the Scripture is true. And now he is just submitting himself to what has been said about the revelation of who God is. By the way, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Church, that ought to cause an eruption right there. My God made everything. Because it's truth. Our education world, academically in the world, is teaching a non-truth. They have elevated evolution above any other theory. You need to understand the world is not educating you properly. You need to take hold of your own family and take the Word of God, lay out the truth, and then begin to understand who He is in your life and in your family's life. We have caved to what the world is telling us. I am appalled personally at some of the commercials out there. Most of the time we do not watch live TV. But every once in a while when I slip it on, and I'm telling you, the commercials are the crudest and rudest they've ever been. But they are putting images and ideas into your mind that are causing you to giggle and laugh and think as though this is cool and kind of funny. But it's that crude humor they're doing it. And I'll tell you what the Word of God tells me, a truth. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Be careful of things that are crude and rude. See, we've got all these worse sins. What about the things that God wants to make you holy with? He wants to work in our lives and grow us and change us. And once we get that truth, and all of a sudden we guard that truth in my heart so I don't sin against Him, then I go, "God, You're good. You protect me from that. You watch over my mind." My own personal testimony, many people have this great testimony that God delivered them from alcohol and drugs and all that good stuff. Let me tell you my testimony. My testimony is this. God has keeping power. My mom and dad brought me to church, raised me in church, taught me the word of God. We prayed at home. We don't miss a meal without praying. God is a part of our life. It's just who we are. I call up my mom and dad quite often. I'll get on the phone with my mom, and man, we just go back and forth. Man, I'm like, Mom, thanks for teaching me about God. Thanks for bringing me. And man, all of a sudden she begins to share goodness of God with me, and we begin to get into it. We're both crying, and we're worshiping God together in community because of His truth. And I want you to know the truth of His word for your children and your grandchildren, there can be keeping power of God. You don't have to go through the junk this world offers, but you need to get the truth in you. I know people say, well, I'd love to experience that spiritual truth. I'd love to have community like that. But unfortunately, they do not want to submit to the truth of God's word. And so what these people do that do not want to submit to His truth, they try to have the experience in their own way. So they design their own religion, their own truth, what's relevant to their own lives. And so they have to create a God that suits them. That's why we have many religions throughout this world. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. And let me tell you, even Christianity has branches that have created their own beliefs outside of the Word of God. And if you do that, I'll be honest with you, you do not have a living God. If you throw out the precepts of the Word of God that you do not like, then you're creating a God who is not real and cannot fight with you or for you, because you no longer have a relationship with the real, true God. All you have is this cardboard cutout God, because you do not have a living, worshiping relationship with God Almighty and the truth of His Word. And let me tell you what happens when you have that kind of religion. There's no life transformation that will happen within you. All these other religions, they're dead religions, because all they do is ask you to earn something. Christianity is about me accepting the incredible grace of God and then walking in it because I love Him. I have a relationship with Him. Therefore, I give Him the worth He deserves because of what He has done for me. If you create your own God that's unique to you, you isolate yourself. You isolate yourself from God's Word. And why do people do it? Because this is why. Because they do not want the Word of God to challenge the way they live. That's why they do it. So it allows them to be comfortable with who they are and the way they want to live. But that's not truth. You remember the story of King David when he sinned with Bathsheba and committed adultery? He's king. I can have all the women I want. I can lay with whoever I want. It's my right. In fact, if I get in trouble, I'll just have their husband killed. That's the story. How many of you remember that story? How many of you like to read love stories and you like all the little junk in the world of, go read the Bible. And so David is in this world of sin. And all of a sudden, Nathan comes to him and challenges him with the Word of God. And David could have not been challenged and said, listen, I, you know what, I've got my own God now, and He's the God who lets me do whatever I want. But that's not what King David does. King David submits to that Word. And he says, I was wrong. And he comes back to God. In church, You need to understand, no matter what you've done in your life, there's a place where you need to submit to truth. And you need to humble yourself to that truth, because all of a sudden, you'll see it in a moment, but it's going to cause worship to really come out of you because of God's forgiveness, because of what he does. And you need that truth if you're going to have transformation happen in your life. It causes us to want to worship. You need the power of Scripture in your life. It helps us to know who God is so we can worship him for who he is and what he's done, because he is a great God. Why? The Bible tells me so. So, we worship not only the praise of community, the power of Scripture, but also the presence of the Spirit. Even though the word Spirit does not appear in this passage, David makes many references to the Holy Spirit many times in the Psalms that he writes. But even though it doesn't directly say it here in Psalm 95, the idea that David, I believe, is trying to get across is this: the purpose of worship is to come into his presence. Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Come, right? Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Why do we need to come into his presence? I mean, isn't God everywhere? I mean, we believe that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But there is a reality of God and the presence of his Spirit when we come and recognize him and worship him. When we come to that place, we begin to sense and we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, where the presence of the Holy Spirit is, the Word can be made manifest. For instance, in the beginning, when the Spirit of God, what was the Spirit of God doing? Hovering, brooding over the waters of the earth. And because the presence of God's Spirit was there, all that needed to be done was to speak a word. And light began to exist. Land and mountains would come forth out of the water. Vegetation would begin to grow, and birds would begin to fly, and beasts would begin to walk on the earth, and even mankind would be made in the very image of God, all because the Spirit of God was there. When the Spirit of God is there, then things can be transformed. That's why King David, in the pain and the anguish that came from his sinful mistakes, he writes in Psalm 51, after that sin with Bathsheba is revealed, he is now longing for the presence of God, the Spirit of God, so that he can be changed. He wants to worship God, but he knows, I need the Spirit of God. I want your presence. I want to feel your presence. So in Psalm 51, verse 11, he writes, do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. David wanted to come to God. I want to live there. I want to live with the sense of your presence in my life. David knew that his connection with God and the worship of God depended on him having the Spirit present in his life. We should long for the presence of God's Spirit in our life, so we can have a revelation of God's Word that challenges how we live. And then you'll begin to live in this full awareness of who God is, and then you will worship Him. Yep, God is everywhere. But there's times in worship the Holy Spirit will let you sense the reality of that. For instance, when you were forgiven, you remember your first encounter with God. And all of a sudden you realize, I was a sinful person, but he died on the cross and I am forgiven. And all of a sudden you begin to thank Jesus. You begin to worship him. All of a sudden you sense the presence of God. Many of you would give the testimony of, when I surrendered, I felt this load lift off of me. I remember surrendering, and I felt a peace and a confidence, and because all of a sudden, not just truth, but now the presence of God is there, and you were challenged by His Word, but now you submit to that, and the presence of God steps into your life, and He comforts you, He helps you, He leads you, He guides you, and now you know and you feel the Spirit of God within you. How many remember that? Amen. So come. Let us bow down. Come, let us worship. Hear what Jesus tells us in John 3, verse 8. He says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Let me help you understand this. A person who is skillful at worship is like a sailor. Sailors cannot create the wind, but they're trained that when the wind shows up, great things can happen. You see, sailors are ready for the wind. When they hear it or they feel it, they know how to respond to it. And church, that's what we're going to need to be skillful worshipers.